Hello, and welcome to the first edition of the Bundesliga Show. I'm Terry DeFellin from the Bundesbag blog, and I'm joined by John Hartley from the Bundesliga World blog. Hello, John.
Hello, Terry. How are you doing?
I'm very well indeed, thank you. It's very dark here and very cold here in Croydon, where I am. What's it like in Somerset, where you are?
It's very nice. It's lovely, but equally chilly. Equally chilly.
We're in for a bit of a spell here in Blighty, aren't we? It's threatening to disrupt my plans to go to Colchester at the weekend. Some might regard that as a good thing, I'm not sure.
Absolutely, and well, the cold snap is probably going to stretch to Germany as well, so we'll hope that it doesn't affect any Bundesliga games this weekend.
Indeed, and it is good as well, because we are here precisely for that, the Bundesliga. But before we begin to talk about the Bundesliga, I should just a brief explanatory note for subscribers to the Bundesbag Preview podcast feed, because this is the feed that we've just hijacked. I used to do the Preview podcast, so you probably recognise my voice. That podcast doesn't exist anymore. It's been replaced by this podcast, with myself and John once a week, maybe once a fortnight, whenever we can squeeze it in, so to speak. So we hope you very much enjoy the new Bundesliga show. And without further ado, John, let's begin with the Bundesliga clubs in the Champions League. And we can start with the famous Bayern Munich, who went to Rome to see Claudio Ranieri and his Roma team. And it was all going terribly well. Mario Gomez continuing his blistering form. 2 goals, 2-0 to Bayern. What could possibly go wrong? They lost 3-2, didn't they? So let's talk a little bit about that, John. And do you think that perhaps Louis van Gaal is sort of paying the price for not refreshing his defence last summer?
Well, as you were saying that, I was wondering if the old adage about when in Rome, is it when in Rome, throw away a 2-0 lead? I'm not sure.
I believe it might be, yeah. I believe that's what it is. I'll have to look it up afterwards.
Yes, certainly. I think that Louis van Gaal may be suffering from not strengthening his defence in the summer. I mean, Martin de Michelis is certainly the weak link at the back, and him and Van Buyten didn't have the greatest of games for Bayern in midweek. And I think certainly in de Michelis's case is that he's being begrudgingly played, isn't he? He was certainly the forgotten man at the beginning of the season until a whole bunch of injuries cropped up. And it has to be mentioned also, you've got a debutant goalkeeper between the sticks as well, Tim Kraft, who, well, what a debut he had. He picked the ball out 3 times, he conceded a penalty, and yeah, it's going to be quite a debut for him to remember, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you've always got to be careful when you bring in young players in such key positions, such as a goalkeeping position, such a high-profile match, although the stakes are relatively low because Bayern obviously through to the next stage. It is a kind of game that can really set back a young man's career, but obviously Van Gaal knows Kraft and knows whether or not he has the wherewithal, you know, and the inner strength to be able to deal with any potential setbacks that are bound to happen. But it's also got to be said that if Tim Kraft wishes to play for Bayern Munich, he's going to have to go to places like that. So the sooner he learns to do that, I guess, from Louis van Gaal's point of view, the better. But on the subject of the head coach, he has once again found himself embroiled in another public spat with Franck Ribéry, not the first time, it should be said. Criticised him a week ago publicly, suggesting that he hadn't been training hard enough and he wasn't working hard enough, despite him coming back from injury. Ribéry then replying again in the media, in kind, suggesting that he didn't find any of those comments helpful, and a few other things besides. Louis van Gaal, any kind of pressure, do you think, there at Bayern Munich? I mean, I don't know how popular he is with the entire board. Do you think that he's a marked man?
Well, I think that getting through to the knockout stages of the Champions League can only help his cause, but he certainly isn't popular with the likes of Uli Hoeneß, is he? So I do have visions of Christian Nerlinger standing in between Hoeneß and Van Gaal. When it comes to Franck Ribéry, I do believe that you don't necessarily have to have a really warm and touchy-feely manager, but probably these comments in the press don't really help. I mean, if you think about it, you've got a manager like Rafa Benitez when he was at Liverpool. Didn't see his players very often on a daily basis, but managed to get them to 2 European Cup finals and win it on one occasion. So I don't necessarily think that when the results are going your way, then it becomes a problem, but it may become a little bit more of a problem if the team's form well, doesn't pick up on a domestic level, but certainly in the Champions League, it's going all right so far. So it might just save him, I think.
Well, they're certainly, well, they're not exactly struggling in the Bundesliga. They're pushing their way slowly but surely through there. This time last year, I think they were roughly in the same position as they are now, and they still went on to win the Bundesliga. So, and they are through to the next stage of the Champions League. So, I don't think that it's time for the Van Gaal obituaries just yet. Nevertheless, he just seemed to be a coach under permanent pressure for me. But I guess that probably comes with being the Bayern Munich coach.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, let's move on then to another manager who's been under pressure, but you feel that pressure is easing with each passing game, and that's Felix Magath of Schalke, who are through to the next round. Fantastic for the Bundesliga, fantastic for Schalke. A magnificent win in Lyon, who probably would have been most people's pre-tournament favourites to top that group. And in fact, they've still got to go to Hapoel. I think they've got to play Hapoel. I think they don't know that they had to go there. I think they're at home to them in order to make sure that they get through. And it was the Hunter, once again, John, who struck again for the Königsblau. What a signing.
He has been the key signing for Schalke this season, hasn't he? He's just been absolutely fantastic. He's managed to haul Schalke through the Bundesliga so far this season, and has hauled them again into the knockout stages of the Champions League. So he did cost them a pretty penny, but he's also earning them a pretty penny by getting them to the next stage of the Champions League. So he is paying for himself, which is fantastic, and his goal return is absolutely phenomenal. It's 18 goals for club and country in all competitions, and I can't really think of anybody else who's putting away that kind of form at the moment. Right. So Schalke have been very, very lucky with him, but the rest of the team are now beginning to catch up with such a fantastic striker.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Gerardo. I think he's really settling in there very well indeed. And obviously Raul, a big player for any team, vital that he settled into that squad and get things going. And he does appear to be steering that ship. They've made some big style and tactical changes and some massive squad changes, and I'm sure that Magath would have anticipated that it would have taken a bit of time to work out, although I'm sure that he didn't anticipate that it would be quite as awful as it got. But it does appear, let's not be too precipitant, it does appear that Schalke are certainly laying the foundations for what promises to be a very exciting, very interesting second half of the season. But while Felix Magath can relax slightly, Thomas Schaaf, on the other hand, isn't. And indeed, the stories are that he offered his resignation prior to the game at Spurs. He took an injury-ravaged Bremen team to White Hart Lane, and they were brushed aside, frankly. Dismissed almost by the Champions League debutants, Tottenham Hotspur, who must be wondering what all the fuss is about with this European football. Eh, John, do you think that they would have had an improved result? Do you think it would have been any different had, you know, Almeida or Arnautovic or Wesley or all of those players played?
To be honest, I don't think it would have made any difference to the final result. It just may have reduced the deficit slightly. It was quite interesting. I was watching the ITV highlights here in the UK, and the comment there was that Bremen set out their stall defensively. Well, as we well know, that's not something that Bremen do particularly well, especially against a rampant Spurs. So if that was the case, then it was a bit of a tactical blunder.
If they did, it was a pretty ramshackle stall.
Absolutely.
More like a car boot sale than anything that robust enough to get away with keeping a clean sheet at White Hart Lane. I mean, Tottenham in many ways very similar in approach, very much let's score lots of goals and see what happens at the other end approach, but only much better players in my opinion, just a much better team. Yeah, I think even a full strength Werder Bremen team would have struggled to have got a result there, but I mean, I certainly would have fancied them to have scored some goals. And it is, mind you, having said that, that's their problem, isn't it, John? They're not scoring goals, and that's why all this is unravelling, unfortunately.
Well, it is true, and certainly, yeah, I mean, there was another debutant on show for Werder Bremen, Felix Kruijs.
And
he had the same problem as poor Tim Kraft, of course, conceding a penalty. So not a great a great night for German debutants in the Champions League. And to be perfectly honest, I did a little Google moment to have a look on Felix Kruijs, and he's played for 9 games for the Werder second team this season, and he's disciplinary record isn't fantastic. 3 yellow cards and a red in 9 games. So maybe this was an accident waiting to happen.
Well, I mean, in the instance of Tim Kraft, that's a choice by Van Gaal, isn't it, to bring him in.
Yes.
Whereas with Felix Kruijs, you feel that that's no choice from Schaaf. It's like, well, he's all I got, so I've got to play him. Clearly not ready, and a sad day for a very proud club, in my opinion. We won't speculate on. Seems rude to speculate on Thomas Schaaf's future, because he's such a fixture there, such a mainstay of that club and of the Bundesliga, that it's almost impossible to imagine Werder Bremen without him. So why don't we draw a veil over this unhappy scene and come back, take a short break, and come back, and we'll just go back slightly and have a look at some key results or interesting results from last weekend in the Bundesliga. Welcome back. Welcome back indeed. And it's time to spool back, I think, just for a brief while, to look at Mainz, first of all, I think, in the Bundesliga last week, who managed to hoist themselves off their blocks, put the wheels back on, and they recorded a frenetic and exciting 3-2 win against Borussia Mönchengladbach. John, the game was a tale of two braces, was it not? One for Marco Reus, a player I've got a great deal of time for Gladbach on the losing side, and of course for another player I've got a great deal of time for, and that's Sami Alagui from Mainz. His winning goal was splendid, wasn't it? Fantastic lob and header.
Well, to be honest, I think that the goals from both of those players were pretty special, to be honest. You're right about Reus, and this is something that I've been mulling over in my mind, how much he looks like Marco Marin, and I just think that they've got a Marco Marin factory going on at Gladbach. So it's like some cloning school of little Marco Marines.
Do you think they get progressively? Do you know? Because here's another thing. Do you know what? This is weird. Because the picture that I've chosen, I did a screen grab of some old footage I found on YouTube of Günter Netzer for this sort of like, you know, this show's sort of like image. Because I'm a bit retro like that. And Günter Netzer in his pomp at Gladbach, a very very painfully young looking Günter Netzer. You know, he looks a little bit like Marco Marin.
Oh dear!
Isn't that strange?
See, they've got the machine. They've brushed it off.
They've got a Netzer lab.
Oh, hang on a minute. We've got the Netzer machine in the background. Why aren't we using that?
No, they probably forgot that they owned it. I said, why didn't you use the Netzer machine before? With all the years of doldrums, quick now, build
that's
more.
That's what's been going Netzers. Wrong since the 1970s.
Well, all that shows is obviously that soon Mönchengladbach will be back. We'll be back with a whole army of Günter Netzers to swarm the Bundesliga. I can't wait.
No, absolutely. The foals are back.
Indeed. To return to some sense of reality then, and indeed the game. Well, I mean, obviously Mainz back on the wagon, but how do you think this affects generally their season from this forward going on? I mean, I'm a little bit reluctant about predicting things for any team, because, you know, knowing the Bundesliga in its current sort of iteration, you can't make any judgment about the Bundesliga until the winter break. But still, you know, a good thing for Mainz to win, and do you expect them to, you know, stay in the top 4 or 5? What do you reckon?
Well, just like yourself, I'm a little bit reticent on my predictions, because I've been burnt in the past with the Bundesliga, haven't we all, by trying to make predictions.
Yeah.
What I think with Mainz is, I think that the next few games are going to be key, really. They've got a win under their belt, but it was against Gladbach, who, a little leaky, to say the least. So it's lovely to see Mainz back. It's lovely to see them playing some great football and scoring some really good goals. One observation I would make is that it was a little concerning to see Christian Veclo go off. Now they're down to, was it Martin P. Kikarik. I think is that the name that I'm looking for?
Yeah, and the 39-year-old. Mainz goalkeeper.
Yes, I've got that name wrong though, haven't I? So, Piekenhagen. That's
Piekenhagen.
Pickerick's another player. Does he play for Stuttgart or something? I can't remember. But yeah, Piekenhagen. That's the name I was going for. Yeah, so basically they're down to their third choice keeper now, because the first choice was Heinz Müller.
Heinz Müller, indeed.
And he was replaced by a player in Christian Veclo, who almost looks exactly the same as Heinz Müller, which is another looky-likey conspiracy theory. But now they're down to third choice goalkeeper. So fingers crossed they will be able to keep it together. But I don't think that necessarily a result against Gladbach is really suggests whether or not that's going to happen or not.
What's the verdict on Veclo? Excuse me. Is he due back anytime soon, or is this likely to be do we know anything about that? I must confess, I didn't look it up. I don't know whether you looked it up.
I haven't Googled. Must confess.
Okay. Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll set ourselves a task in the break to have a little look there and see whether or not I don't suppose it's completely beyond the realms of possibility that Mainz can dip into the loan market in the winter and sign a goalkeeper if they absolutely need to. I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world.
No, I don't necessarily think it will make or break their season. But
I mean, I think that for the key for Mainz is whether or not Alagui and Schürrle and Holtby can keep themselves together. I mean, even journeyman players like Christian Fuchs, who's been fantastic this season, can he hold on for that length of time? I mean, we shall see, and I'm sure it will be I think Mainz will make a significant contribution this season. Absolutely. Even though we don't know where they'll be. Why don't we move on? Why don't we move on to the leaders, Borussia Dortmund, hard fought win over Freiburg, going a goal down thanks to a rare defensive mix up, an own goal in fact, even though Roman Weidenfeller, the Dortmund keeper, was claiming he was being fouled. It's no excuse for shoddy defending, but you'd have thought, John, given Freiburg's speciality of hitting teams on the break, that Dortmund would have really struggled against a good Freiburg side, but they did. They managed to bounce back, a goal from Lewandowski, and an own goal from Mensur Mujda. And I'm pretty certain I've pronounced that incorrectly. So, but yeah, you would have thought that Dortmund would have struggled to get there. So that's a decent result against Freiburg.
Absolutely, yeah. When I saw the results coming in, I did think it was a good result. It is a difficult club to play against, Freiburg. They've had some really good results, but once again, Dortmund have turned to Robert Lewandowski to come off the bench to be Mr. Super Sub once more. His record from coming off the bench is absolutely incredible. It's good, and it shows a little bit of strength and depth. You know, when they need to dig in, they have done that. It's a bit of an old cliche, sort of grinding out results, etc., etc. But Dortmund have got the points that they needed, and it's a fantastic result for them.
You're never going to do anything but grind out a result at Freiburg, though, this season. Anyway, it's because that's the way they're set up, and that's the situation there. So it is a bit of a grind, and yeah, it's a testimony to Lewandowski. He came from Lech Poznan last season, top scorer, four goals from the bench. So I mean, making a big impact, if I can use that word, from the substitute bench, and it is always difficult because Barrios was a signing last year, wasn't he? And he kind of took a bit of time to settle in, but got there in the end. And Lewandowski again took a bit of time, but I mean, he can only get much, much better. You think that if something happens, say for instance to Barrios later on in the season, then you imagine that Lewandowski is well set to come in and take a place up front and score the goals. I think Dortmund are the real deal this season.
Yeah, it's shaping up for that with Lewandowski. Maybe he can unleash some shooting tips to poor Kuba Błaszczykowski.
Yeah, I suppose we would be remiss not to discuss that. But it is, of course, everyone will have known about Kuba Błaszczykowski's astounding miss, running in on the goal, pretty much open goal, you know, harder to score, all the cliches, just imagine them all bundled up together, and that was the profound, and I think it was a profound miss.
It really was.
Yeah. Why don't we stop dwelling on that, because people have already spoken about this. We'll cover one more game before we take another break, and that is, I think, at the Bayer Arena. Second place team versus last year's champion, Bayer Leverkusen versus FC Bayern. We won't talk too much about Bayern because we've talked about them before, but what did you say? Would you describe it as a cagey 1-1 draw? What do you reckon?
It wasn't the most exciting game of football, that's for sure. Yes, I think that it, really and truly, it was kind of the result that we were kind of expect from a game like that, actually. I think that two teams that are pretty evenly matched. I mean, even so, Bayern have had their sort of well documented rubbish start to the season. I think that these are two clubs that have got quality in their ranks and probably just cancelled each other out, really. But yes, it was great to see Sydney Sam still settling into the side nicely there. But it wasn't a game for the purists, that's for sure.
No, well, interesting what you said about the two teams cancelling each other out. I mean, Leverkusen again missing some key players, and yet really pretty much keeping the game under control. I mean, well, presumably disappointed not to have taken all 3 points. After the winter break, if they've got a fair full complement back, then I think again, Bayer are going to be a much better team, and they're second now. So it's shaping up to be a fantastic second half of the season. I can barely wait, were it not for the fact that we've got so much more to look forward to before the winter break commences. And we're going to discuss next weekend's, tomorrow, from your point of view, listeners, weekend fixtures in about 2 or 3 moments once we've had a swig of cold tea. Hello, thank you very much indeed for sticking with us. We're going to look forward to this weekend in the Bundesliga, and the game that leaps out, is Borussia Dortmund versus Borussia Mönchengladbach. I heard somewhere this was called the Borussen Derby. I don't know whether or not that actually exists. It's just two teams with the same name. I'm not quite sure about that. Anyway, John, with BVB's goal scoring record and Gladbach's goal conceding record, this game should be an absolute goal fest. So what chance do you think it'll be on a 0-0 draw?
Well, I don't think it's going to be a 0-0 draw, but you just watch it now. It's going to come back and bite us as being a bore fest. But really and truly, it really shouldn't be. And Dortmund should, by all accounts, absolutely romp home on this one. Their goal scoring record is absolutely fantastic. They're bulldozing teams for fun, Gladbach don't really react to that very well, but stranger things have happened in this beautiful world of the Bundesliga. But I certainly look forward to a very entertaining attacking game of football from Dortmund, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, Gladbach can surprise teams, can't they? They can produce sort of like fairly freakish results.
Well, the 6-4 away at Bayer Leverkusen was a major surprise result. So yes, they can produce surprise results. I wouldn't necessarily say that the win in Cologne was a surprise result, but
no.
It looks like Gladbach have more fun on the road. That seems to be the way. I think that, well, it looks like, well, just having a look down here, that both of their league wins have come on the road. So who knows? Who knows?
So if you are a betting man, then I'd stay well away from this fixture. Anyway, let's move on to Hoffenheim versus Leverkusen. Hoffenheim are having a decent season, not quite as decent as their league position actually suggests. Well, they're fifth, aren't they? So that's pretty good. They've been a little bit in and out and up and down, haven't they? They lost two games recently, and that sort of, they've fallen off a little bit. They're tremendous fun to watch. I love Demba Ba. I think he's a fantastic player. Leverkusen, of course, we were just talking about earlier. So again, a game potentially with lots of goals in it.
Well, absolutely, and you mentioned players like Demba Ba, of course, Peniel Malapa has been an excellent find. Also, Vedad Ibisevic looked very much like he was going to be on the back burner, but he popped up and scored a goal last week, so you might be able to throw him into the mix as well. And
Gylfi Sigurdsson
is of course another one that can pop up, and Salihovic as well has been known to score the odd goal as well. So there's plenty there from Hoffenheim. And that they know how to rough up a team as well. So
they do, don't they? Because you always think, because Rangnick's kind of got this kind of professorial kind of, from an English perspective, almost kind of Arsene Wenger kind of look about him in a kind of. But in fact, his boys play rough, don't they?
They really do. And the big one was against Dortmund, where they got a 1-1 draw, and I think the statistic was 31 fouls or something along those lines, and they really roughed Dortmund up, and they may have to do the same with Leverkusen if they're going to get a result.
Yeah, could be a feisty encounter at the Rhein-Neckar Arena, methinks. Let's move on then to Werder Bremen. We've had a little chat about Werder Bremen, but we'll talk a little bit more. But they're playing St. Pauli. And this is a game that really both teams feel they should win, and this is a game that you feel both teams really ought to try and win. They don't need to, but Bremen certainly to lift the pressure off their coach, and St. Pauli need to show some signs of life, and they are on the road, of course, where they are better.
Absolutely, and this is where I hang my hat as being a St. Pauli fan. So I really, really hope that they can get 3 points in this game. I haven't got a bad word to say about Werder Bremen, but I really hope that St. Pauli manage to kick them while they're down. Unfortunately, But I really think that, St. Pauli need to be starting to do a few more things better. I really think that Ebbers needs to start stepping up to the mark, and players like Naki, and I think that Carlos Zambrano needs to keep his eye on the prize a little bit more at the back. He's been guilty of a few mistakes that have cost goals and points recently. So with that in mind, if they can start tightening a few things up, I think that St. Pauli may be able to pull this one off. Bremen are in such a state that it could go St. Pauli's way, and of course it's a North German derby as well, so these two teams pretty much rub along okay together because of their mutual dislike for Hamburg. But at the moment both clubs need the points, and I think that'll be the focus.
HSV fans, don't worry, we will talk about Hamburg probably next week or the week after or whenever the next podcast is. We haven't spoken about them this much, but do not worry, we are not ignoring you. We will give you plenty of attention in the weeks and months to come. We'll finish with Bayern versus Frankfurt, I think, though, largely because I'm really into Frankfurt for some reason. I don't know why, maybe the name. And they've got Fanis Gekas, who's a goal machine, just at the level, the kind of club that he plays for is he's really good at, is at Frankfurt. And I really like what they're doing this season, as I did under last season as well. And Bayern, well, you never know. These days with Bayern, unpredictable, could be an interesting encounter.
Yeah, I think that this could be an a really interesting encounter, especially as Frankfurt lost last week to Hoffenheim, which I was quite surprised that it was going to go that way. So I think that there's going to be a little bit of pride burning because they've done so well in recent times that they may try and snap back. But going to the Allianz Arena is definitely not an easy an easy place to go. And I think that Bayern as well, they may not be expecting to win the title, even so. Well, as we've already discussed, they've been in worse positions and done just that. But you know, there's no taking your foot off the gas with it with Bayern Munich.
So. Yeah, they need to start now, really, Bayern. If they are going to win the title, they need to start winning right now and starting against Eintracht Frankfurt. And of course, Halil Altıntop is going to be playing there as well. And him and Gekas, I think, are linking up really, really nicely there.
Well, and of course, there could be you know, the spat of the brothers.
Of course,
in that one as well.
That's always a tasty prospect, isn't it? Yeah.
Well,
two
absolutely.
Brothers, toe to toe.
I mean, looking at the head to head with these two clubs. I mean, Bayern have won the last two, and there was a draw. This is at Bayern. So Bayern have won the last two. Two seasons ago they won 4-0, so Frankfurt will be hoping that there's no repeat of that.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely. I think with all of those fixtures that we've just looked back, one thing that we're almost certain of is there's going to be stacks of goals, lots of excitement. May not be the best defensive league of the big four or five leagues in Europe, but certainly it's one of the most entertaining in terms of goal scoring action.
That's why we love it.
Okay, so I hope that sets the scene nicely for the upcoming action. We're going to sign off now. We hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. We hope that you'll join us next time. Maybe we'll have a guest next time. We may not have a guest. We'll try and see if we can find a guest who will come on the show and have a chat with us and give us a slightly different perspective. More importantly, we hope you enjoy this week's Bundesliga action. You can catch up with us, all of our blog posts on bundesbag.com or on bundesligaworld.blogspot.com. That's right, isn't it, John?
Absolutely right, yep.
And if you want to contact us, you're more than welcome to do so. We'd love to hear what you think of the show. We really would. Please let us know. The best way to do it would be Twitter. I'm Bundesbag, and John, you are?
I am Bundesliga World, all one word.
All one word, that's good. We also have email, so if you're, if you swing the web 1.0 way, then email bundesligashow@footballfairground.com. That's bundesligashow@footballfairground.com. And in the meantime, until the next time, it's goodbye.